guys, it's Michaela from Trainer Unleashed. I'm coming to you live from the road with, you know, a new podcast. Love that for us. I feel like the best conversations happen when I'm on the road having a good time, listening to music, thinking all the things. But I'm just going to go over some fun topics today. I'm just going to give you guys a little bit of an update. What's been going on the last few months, what's going to happen the next few months. And I would like to talk about maybe e-collars, maybe some training concepts. I have a little bit of, you know, some tricks up my sleeve. But if you want to find out about that, you got to stay and watch. Well, listen to the podcast. But yeah, so I am currently right now on I-65 going to Florida because I'm ready to go home. I've been traveling the last few weeks, and as fun it has been, I love my job, but I travel a lot for work. If you follow along with me on my social medias for the past few years, or maybe you're just now getting to know me, I travel a lot for what I do, and I train service dogs. So a lot of my clients are not local to me, so I travel to my clients, I go and pick up dogs, and I get dogs brought to me, and then I bring them home for their team trainings and stuff. And it's super fun, but it requires a lot of time for me driving, and a lot of time just in general. And although some of my travel is done via flights, a lot of my travel is done via driving. But I love traveling, so it works out really great. It's probably one of my favorite things to do. I like being home though too, so I'm excited to get home. But the last few months have been quite the whirlwind, to be honest. I have been very much go, go, go this year, it seems like. Although, I feel like business in general is pretty slow. I feel like it's pretty slow for a lot of people right now. It kind of really depends on where you're living, too. I feel like a lot of dog trainers are really struggling with, like, business. And it's really weird because in summer, usually it's, like, really busy, like it's busting, like it's like inquiry after inquiry, boarding, grooming, like all the people, like doing like daycares, you know, all those things, like people are usually really busy. But I feel like the economy is so bad in America that it's really putting a damper on things. So, and unfortunately having a pet is a luxury for most people, so I don't know. We will see. Hopefully this gets resolved soon. But for me, things have been pretty crazy. I love it though. I'd rather be busy than not busy. Earlier this year, I was traveling and I got back a little after my birthday in February. So I was gone pretty much the whole beginning of this year and like the end of 2023. And then I got home. I was here for a few weeks. One of my friends came and visited me. And we trained dogs, we hung out, we did all the things, and then I left to go to California to work with one of my program dog teams, Otis and his handler, so that was super fun. I went to the San Jose, California area, which is pretty much like, think of like the southern side of San Francisco, and then I was there for like, I think a little over 2 weeks or just at 2 weeks, and we worked on lots of tests and all the things, and he did really well. I flew there. That was nice. So I didn't have to drive 40 hours across the country. And then while my friend came into town, they actually watched my dogs. So they were training and watching and taking care of my other dogs back home while I went and did that. And then I came back for a few days and then their friend came to my house and we all hung out and, you know, did the nice fun Florida summer things. And then I left 2 days after I got back from California to go to a seminar in Orlando with Kate and Bethany. Bethany's walking dog training, and then Kate is canine dog training. But they are two really nice trainers that have a really cool seminar that's more so for, like, the dog trainer side of things, not necessarily, like, the training part. It's, like, more like the back-end business stuff, which is really cool because I feel like all the seminars I go to are very dog training-focused, like, working on technical skills, how to apply certain methodologies, learning about different reinforcement-based training or you know, the application of different concepts in sport work or blah, 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 you know, like all the things. And so it was really nice to have like a change of pace with the Trainer in You seminar. That's what it's called. And oh my Lord, there are so many accidents today. You guys, I don't know what's in the air today, but I feel bad for all these people. I've driven past like in the last 2 hours, like probably 5 accidents, and it's backed up traffic for like miles. I was just stuck in 45 minutes worth of traffic. It's crazy. Anyways, I went to the Trainer in You seminar, and it's definitely a really unique experience, to say the least. It's very much a, it's very much for, like, there is no training concepts out. So if you're wanting to learn more on how to structure a dog training business and learn how to develop a good community around your like, ideal trainer, like around not your ideal trainer, your ideal client, and, you know, attracting the right owners to be able to grow your business, and how to use like different skills and creativeness to, or creative activities to, you know, grow your platform, and provide educational content and resources to your clients while also maybe making like passive income and stuff. I feel like that's like this seminar was great for that, especially if you're like you're beginning, like just about to start your business to like your third year, fourth year, or you're just simply like not really big into marketing and you want to learn more about it. Like that is really awesome. And then like the friends you make it like at these, like I want to say these, like at that seminar specifically was super awesome. It's like an in-home environment, a smaller group of people, super personable. You get a lot of like nice time with the other gals that go, and you get to like hang out, and a lot of people like were like staying together in different places. So like me and five total, or me and 5 other girls, I don't exactly remember, but there was 5 of us in a house, and we rented an Airbnb, and it was so much fun, so much fun. We had like this really nice house on a lake, and there was like pretty lights and palm trees. I'm a sucker for palm trees. And then we all like hung out, we'd go to the seminar together, and then we would come back and make dinner together and like eat and stuff. It was super fun. And I loved it. And then some of us would go to the gym, and it was great. I love it. And even to this day, some of them are still friends with me. I mean, I talk to all of them still, but definitely I feel like the ones that were like together the most got a little bit closer to each other because we were just around each other the whole time, which was really cool. But yeah, so if you're interested in like a seminar like that, definitely check that out. It's really cool. And I think they're doing one this fall, like a Trainer in You seminar this fall. So check that out. Well, anyways, after that, I went to Disney. I had Otis and Oakley with me at the seminar, and I brought them with me because I wanted to bring them to Disney because that's Otis's last chance to go to Disney, and he loves Disney. So we love Disney. I love Disney. I like to think the dogs like Disney. I'm sure they really don't care. but I thoroughly enjoy Disney, and I really like seeing the dogs go to Disney, so you go to Disney. But I went to Disney. My friend Bree came down to Orlando and met me there after my seminar, and we went to Disney for a few days. We went to all the theme parks, did all the things. She had her service dog, Louie, and I had Oakley and Otis, and so we were just training them and having a good time and you know, enjoying ourselves. So that was like a nice little mini vacation. I usually don't get to enjoy Disney that much because when I go to Disney, I'm going there to work. It's different, like when you go to Disney for a vacation versus when you go there to work. Like, yeah, I go there to, like, I'm riding rides and stuff and having fun, but it's way different when you're going there intentionally for training versus you're just going to go have a good time. And so Otis and Oakley are pretty much fully trained service dogs at this point. And if you guys don't know who those dogs are, they're my program dogs for my service dog organization. My service dog program, so to say, or so to speak. But they are pretty much fully trained. So handling them in an environment like that is so easy. Like, they've pretty much grown up on that. And they are super easy to handle. Like, they're really, really easy dogs. So I brought both of them and worked them tandem. And it worked great. It was awesome. And they were super helpful. Otis is a cardiac alert dog, so he would help alert to cardiac issues, and then provide depressure therapy and stuff. And Oakley and Otis are retrievals. They're retrieving all the things. So it was super fun. And they, Oakley doesn't do mobility at this time, but Otis does. And so Otis is super helpful because he knows a lot of the same tasks that my personal service dog knows. And I just didn't bring her because I wanted to bring Otis and Oakley instead. But yeah, so then we went home. Bree flew back to her place in Alabama, and then I drove back to, you know, the northern part of Florida, where I live. And then after that, what did I do after that? Oh, I had a team training with Elliot and his family. He's one of my other program dogs, so that was fun, and that went super well. Very, very well. I love his family. They're really, really sweet people. And then after that, I got some, oh, I did some team trainings with Yoshi. So Yoshi's a dog I just placed. And I did some team trainings with Yoshi, and that went really well. And then a couple weeks after that, my friend Kristen left, actually. So that was cool. I miss them a lot. I miss Kristen. I love when they come with their dogs and their partner, and we get to hang out and go hiking and train dogs. It's super fun. And then after that, I got ready to head on the road again. So recently, I went to go bring Everest home. Everest is Yoshi's brother that I trained, and I dropped him off at his family's house, and then from there I went up to Michigan to go bring Yoshi to his forever family because he was placed. And then in the process of all that, Oakley, the person who owns Everest, Bree, they are puppy raising Oakley for me, so that's super fun. And then Elliot is with a trainer friend of mine in Florida. And then Oakley's actually going to one of my trainer friends that I met at that seminar, Brittany from McGee Dog Training. If you don't follow them, you should. She's the best. She's in Texas. So Oakley's actually going to Texas this coming weekend. So that's going to be so fun. I'm so excited for him to be able to like leave and like go do things with other trainers and other professionals, just because that is a good way for him to like get super, super comfortable with like other people and other environments and, you know, different things in different areas and whatnot. So it really helps kind of polish up skills, especially in different environments, like different homes, different layouts, stuff like that. And then I went to Michigan and went and worked with Yoshi. Yoshi's a facility dog for a cheer gym in Michigan. But he did super well. His team training went absolutely fantastic. His family adores him, and they are probably some of the sweetest people I've ever met. I literally cried when I left. I love them so much. I love all the people I work with. Like, Otis's family is really awesome. Like, all my program dog teams, I'm very selective with who I let get my dogs, because I want it to be a really good match, and I want it to work. I don't want to have to, like, get dogs back and then redo the whole thing. Like, I don't like doing that. I will do it if I need to, but I try to avoid that and intentionally place my dogs really well. But I love all the people I work with. It's so fantastic. And then from there, I went to go visit family at home in Chicago. Well, love you're that. Still on the fastest route. Thank you, Siri. I appreciate your concern with that. But yeah, so that made me lose my train of thoughts. More traffic. Love that for us. There's so much traffic. I do not understand, guys. We're stuck in another spout of an accident. What's it be like? We have an accident tracker. It's like accident number 6, I think. Love that. Anyways, so then I went and visited family in Chicago. And I got to see my grandma, my grandpa, my mom, and my dad. My mom and I actually went and did a trip to Wisconsin. And my family used to have a house up in Wisconsin, one of my family members. And when I was a kid, we used to go visit all the time. It's Lake Geneva. If you guys ever get to go somewhere over in Wisconsin, Lake Geneva is so pretty. I love it. Well, anyways, we went to Lake Geneva. We, you know, had a little throwback in time. It was super fun. We went to Mars Cheese Castle. We went to Apple Holler and Apple Orchard. I don't get to do those types of things anymore in Florida. We have citrus orchards, which is definitely different. but anyways, nothing better than if you're in the Midwest, you guys know, fall, the apple cider donuts, it's so good. It's so good. Or like getting on the hay rides and going around and picking your apples off the trees. Like, it's so fun. It wasn't the season to do that, but I did get to go and get some fresh apple cider and some apple cider donuts. And I was very happy. And then we went to, like I said, the Mars Cheese Castle, because Wisconsin has really good cheese, and why not? And then we went to Six Flags Great America, went to the water park. We literally just went on the Lazy River and the Wave Pool, because that was fun. But yeah, and then we went home, and I went downtown with Otis, and Otis was, going out to dinner with me, like doing all our family events. So we went and got hibachi with my family, and it was a good time, and we watched the Olympics. The Olympics were happening, or still are, I think, and so that was super fun. I love watching the Olympics. I'm very much a equestrian girly, so we watched the equestrian Olympics and the gymnastics one. The gymnastics Olympics, like, portion is really awesome, and then they have this section of, like, for trampoline. I did not know jumping on a trampoline was a sport. Like, I did not know that was a thing. That's neat. And then my family likes to watch golf and soccer and all that stuff too, but those are the main ones I'm into, which is, gymnastics and the equestrian Olympics. But yeah, and then now I'm on my way home, and then in 2 weeks I travel to London, England. I am so excited, but I'm also so nervous. I've never been out of the country before, ever in my entire life. So I am kicking it off strong with going to London. And then after I placed Otis in London, that's why I'm going. I'm going to go bring Otis home to his family. And then I'm going to go to France for a few days after I'm done with that, just because it's so close. And there, I have a friend that lives in London that I'll be with. And we're going to go to Disney France. So I'm a Disney girly through and through. So the fact that I have the opportunity to go is crazy. And Disney France is so much cheaper than the United States Disney. Like, any of the Disney parks in the U.S. are so much more expensive than Disney France. It's like a third of the price, which is absolutely insane. And it's right there in Paris. So, like, that's cool. So I get to go to Disney France and, or Disney Paris, and, you know, go to Paris. So that's really cool. And then I get back from that, and I don't have any travel plans as of yet, but Elliot, I'm going to have to go to the New England area, because that's where he's getting placed, and I have to do one more team training with him, and then his placement, although I might do two team trainings, we'll see. It depends on what him and his family need the most. And then, yeah, I'm supposed to get more puppies for my program, whether it's an older dog or a puppy. I don't exactly know yet. I'm hoping to get a puppy, as long as the temperaments go right and the breeding takes and everything. And then I'll be able to get a new dog, because I have so many dogs leaving. I need to get more dogs, but I'm going to enjoy my break from raising puppies for a while, which is going to be nice. So I won't get anything until fall. So I'll be able to kind of relax. And then ideally I place Oakley this fall. That would be really nice to find him a good home. And yeah, that's pretty much that. It's like a little life update. I'm hoping to go to Disney with the puppies. I'll go see some friends in the Central Florida. I like to bring my puppies to Disney because it's a good way to expose them to that environment from a young age. But yeah, so there's the whole spiel of what I got going on. I'll let you know if there's anything changes. This is going to be like a good way for me to like blog what's going on. And just chit chat with you guys. Definitely a lot to do. But yeah. Oh, Elliot goes for his final clearances soon. I'm so excited. He passes prelims, so I'm hoping all good things for his finals. But still nerve-wracking. Makes you want to hold my breath and then I can breathe after. But he's a really good boy, so I hope he passes everything. You never know with these things. You know, dogs are dogs, so shit happens. But yeah. So I wanted to talk about training stuff because I recently made a video about e-collars. And, you know, like, I'm very much, if you've been following me for a while now, I'm very much a trainer that kind of dabbles in all areas of dog training, you know, like sport dog stuff, pet dog stuff, service stuff, you know, all the things. And there's not like one specific thing that I gravitate towards. Like, I really like service dog training, and sometimes I like pet dog training because it's a good break from the service dog stuff. And then I have my personal sport dogs, and I really like the sport stuff. And I hope to get into that and start actually accepting clients for sport dog training. Just because I personally really enjoy it. And it's like a good hobby for me. But what I really would like to do is be able to continue to do all these things. But definitely is something really niche about, I think that's the right word, niche, about service dog training and like helping owner trainers and doing like a small scale program. Because a lot of people can't get like customized service dog task lists these days, which is crazy because so many people, well, I feel like maybe because I'm involved in the disabled community, like I see it more, but I feel like there's so many different types of disabilities, like, and I have a lot of disabled people in my family that maybe I'm just used to like growing up around it, so it's normal. Like, obviously having a disability isn't normal, but like, I'm sure you guys know what I'm saying. Like, I have been around it my whole life, so working with people who are disabled is normal to me because I grew up around that. Like, my mom has disabilities, my grandmother has disabilities, a lot of other family members of mine have disabilities, so like, work with people with mobility aids or learning disabilities, or even me, like I have learning disabilities, or work with people with like different, you know, sight related issues or hearing issues, things like that, or like diabetes and migraines and cardiac issues. Like, all that stuff is super like familiar because I have people in my family with those issues. But I don't know. I just feel like it's really cool to, be able to like do all of it instead of just have to pick one. Well, where this brings me is the reason why I brought up the e-collar stuff is that when I post anything about like the proper application of like e-collars or prong collars or slip leads or whatever have you, people get so defensive over it. And I'm very much one of those people that I'd rather, if someone's not comfortable with a certain training tool, I'd rather you just not use it at all. Like, if you want to try it and see, like, okay, well, maybe this isn't so bad, and you end up liking it, great, then use it. But if you're not comfortable with it, maybe don't try it. And then in the future, if you end up, like, being a little bit more open to it, then try it then. But, like, don't force yourself to be ready. Like, if you're not ready, don't use the tool. And whether that's, you know, utilizing a slip lead, a martingale, or utilizing a specific type of harness you're not familiar with, or I don't know, it could be applied to anything, technically any tools, like a clicker, a harness, a leash, a slip lead, a flexi lead, a e-collar, a prong collar, a star mark, a toy, a tug, or whatever. Like, all of it's technically a training tool, at least in my eyes it is. And I just don't really care to try to pick a fight with people about certain things. Like, I'm a trainer that utilizes aversive training tools, but I'm not a trainer that's going to force my clients to. There are plenty of opportunities for me to use more reinforcement-based approaches to all of my training. Like, for my service dogs, I don't think I have ever applied pressure in task work outside of retrievals I think that's it. I think retrievals is the only one. Like, getting dogs, like, with, like, my hand. Like, I'll put my hand out and, I might, you know, have them, I'll apply, like, gentle pressure with my finger just to help stabilize, or I might use a slip lead to help with retrievals, or, you know, provide different, like, reinforcement-based approaches to that, but that's, like, to help clean up something. Like, I feel like so many people think, like, oh, if you train with aversive training tools, like, you're gonna have to use it for everything, and for me, what I usually condition training tools to, for, like, I'm going to speak in the, for an e-collar, just because it's something for everyone to kind of put, like, a tool to that specific situation. E-collars, for me, are generally used for recall and place, just because that's, sometimes heel, as well. For pet dogs, it's heel, place, and recall, but for service dogs, I'll do a lot of e-collar stuff with just recall and place, but but I feel like I, because I'm a vet tech, that's like a story for another day, but I, went to school to be a vet tech, and I got my fear-free certification, in my college, and, something I stay up to date with, and, you know, I think it's a really, because I learned that in school, like, I know the value in, you know, doing cooperative care, and practicing force-free methods, and things like that. And I personally, for my dogs, I like to use e-collars. I could give two fucks less about a prong collar. I think prong collars are great, and they're helpful for people who have a lot of mobility issues and joint issues, especially it's like a safety precaution. But your dog, no dog should need a prong collar. No dog should need an e-collar either. Your dog should be able to work with it without it. And if your dog can't, it's likely there's a gap in training that needs to be filled. And for me, I think e-collars are more so for my relaxation and being able to have my dogs off-leash when I travel. For instance, sometimes I travel with upwards of 8 dogs. And juggling 8 million long lines, I'm just kidding. Juggling 8 long lines is not really something I'm interested in doing. Not my thing. That would be an absolute clusterfuck of a situation. And nor do I have the time to sit there and take 10 minutes per each dog to walk around for potties on a long line. That would be 80 minutes of my time if I had 8 dogs traveling. And when you're traveling, being outside for an hour and a half in 100 degree heat in Arizona is not my cup of tea. And so, you know, my baby puppies that are not conditioned to e-collars, or like my younger dogs that aren't, usually I don't do any like e-collar training until like, I would say like 7 months old, usually like 6-7 months. Anyways, so if my dog's not e-collar trained, I put them on a harness. Yeah, but like my older dogs, my personal dogs are always on e-collars. And I rarely use it, but if it's there, if I need it. Like if there's a snake or something, or some sort of wildlife, or there's something dangerous that they're about to like run into, or I don't know. Because I usually like potty them in like the middle of nowhere, so there's nothing around, but there's definitely wildlife. Like Arizona is one of the scarier states when it comes to that stuff, but I travel a lot through there. But anyways, so it makes it a lot easier, and it's for my convenience, not my dog necessarily. And I think my dogs don't necessarily like know what they are when it comes, like, if I put them on them, they're like, oh, it's just my collar. Like, they don't really associate it with like a positive or negative thing. A lot of the times I put it on and we go hiking, so they probably do associate a little bit with like outdoor freedom, like run around, fun dog time. But it allows my dogs to like go away from me and like be a dog and go explore things and sniff things and play with sticks and like do all the things that they could do on leash, but they would have a much smaller area to like run around and explore. And so I know I really enjoy that, especially with me doing photography too. I take pictures of my dogs, and doing that really up close is more difficult. So it's kind of nice when they're running around far away, I could take really cute photos with them too. But anyways, where this was going is, I find that a lot of people are like, oh, well, like, you're a force-free or fear-free certified vet tech, and that just, like, leaves the moment you walk through the clinic door or something, and, or like, how come you practice fear-free veterinary-related things, but not fear-free training, and people kind of forced me to pick sides, and I shouldn't have to pick sides, straight up, like, I should be able to support as many fear-free, R+, force-free trainers that I would like, and I should also be able to support whatever balance trainers I like. And me personally, I don't label myself as a balance trainer because that word gives me the ick. Like, that shit, like, that word, like, when I talk about balance training, if you say balance training to anyone, they're like, ugh. Like, they pretty much, balance training is compulsive training. Like, it's not that, but, like, people think of that. Like, when they hear balance trainer, most people think compulsive trainer. Because their two have been so blurred over the years, and there's such a really bad stigma on being a balance trainer. Like, now people have to add in things like, oh, reinforcement-based balance training. Like, balance training, you do use reinforcement, period. Like, R-plus training, you use reinforcement, period. Like, there's no, like, balance training is balance training because you're using all four quadrants of operant conditioning, and you're using classical conditioning. So it's like, you shouldn't have to put reinforcement-based balance training or holistic-based balance training or all that. Like, no, dude, it's balance training, and it is what it is, but people have to put those things in there now because they want people to know that they have an emphasis on either relationship-based or reinforcement-based, or people be like, I'm a relationship-based reinforcement, like, relationship reinforcement-based balance trainer. Like, come on, let's go. Like, can we just do the damn thing? Like, I feel like we just have to tiptoe, like, as balance trainers, that people who use aversive training tools have to tiptoe around the fact that we use them. And me, personally, I'm an open book about it. I'm not trying to secretly hide what I do. Like, I'm open book. People ask me questions. I'm more than happy to have an open dialogue with someone and provide, you know, educational information. There's going to be things that people like that I do and agree with. There's going to be people that don't agree with things that I do. There's going to be things that I love that other people do and I'm not going to agree. You know, you take what you like and leave what you don't like. There's lots of trial and error. Like, I've went to plenty of seminars, and I'm like, oh, that seems like a cool topic. Let me try that with my dogs when I go home. I go home, I try, it doesn't work. And I try another dog, it doesn't work. And then I'm like, all right, well, I'm just not going to use that moving forward. But I'm going to try this instead. I'm like, oh, wow, that worked even better. So then I'm going to use that. So I left what I didn't like, and I took what I liked. So I definitely think that there's some give and take with those things. But just because you don't like or agree with something, like, what someone is doing, doesn't necessarily make them a bad person or a bad trainer. It's just not your avenue of dog training, and that's totally okay. Like, there's so many dog trainers out there with different ideologies and methods and stuff like that, that it makes everyone super unique and gives different people different perspectives. And there's also different dogs out there, so my methods might not work for a certain specific type of dog, but other people's methods might work great for that dog, and the owner and the dog will see a lot of success from that. So I don't know, I think there's something really valuable, you know, in that type of situation, that, like, you know, we want people to, I'm gonna say, like, both communities, if you will call it that, or camps is what people say, is, like, super separated. And, like, last year I brought together two balance trainers and two R-plus trainers to do a service dog training seminar, and it was fantastic. It was so easy to work with them. We had wonderful conversations, and the year that it took us to plan this, it was an absolutely phenomenal process. Like, we got, it was just so amazing, and I wish everyone could have that type of open conversations with other people, whether you're a handler or an owner or a potential owner or another trainer or other professional in the industry that just wants to be more involved in those types of things. Like, being able to have those amazing conversations and learn and grow your knowledge and expertise with other people, like, giving you different ideas, is just so invaluable. Like, you can't put a value to that, because it's just so impressive and so, like, I don't really know if that's the right word. It's just, like, really, like, I don't know, it's just really awesome, like, being able to have, like, other conversations with trainers. And so, I learned a lot from that seminar, and I am friends with many people that attended that seminar. I made so many valuable connections. I know so many, you know, really, really, really talented R-plus based trainers, and I also know many really, really talented balance trainers. I met so many really great people. And I'm very thankful for those relationships. They're people I talk to sometimes on a daily, weekly, or monthly basis. And we have really great conversations all the time. And, you know, then I get people that come on my social media. And obviously when you post on social media, you're putting yourself out there for criticism and constructive criticism and stuff like that. And so I definitely know that there's a chance that that can happen, but I constantly feel like I have to play advocate. And, you know, I feel like sometimes I shouldn't have to always do that. Like, you're going to come to my page, you're going to see my information. If you like what you see, follow, tag along, ask questions. If you don't, just leave it alone. Like I feel like a lot of people always, like, comment, like, very conflicting information of, like, you want me to be able to stop using aversive training tools. And I train several of my clients' dogs. Like, there's people that come to me to work with me that never use aversive training tools. And there's people that come to me that already have trained dogs and maybe want to implement aversive training tools, but they want to do it in a way that's ethical and fair to the dog and make sure that the dog's going to do good with it and that the handling is going to be appropriate. Because, you know, timing and all that is a really big factor. But then also, on the flip side of that, you know, you have people that just never really saw interest. And, you know, I might get to a point with a client like, hey, you know, I don't know if you want to implement this, but if you do, I can tell you the process of that and we can start implementing that type of protocol. So we can prepare you guys to implement, let's say, you know, a prong collar, e-collar, whatever. And I'm like, okay, yeah, that's great. And some people will be like, no, I'm not really interested in that. I think we're doing good with where we're at. You know, in the future, if I want to do that, I'll be sure to let you know. All right, perfect. And, you know, we just don't revisit it. And then it is what it is. And if they end up wanting to do that, then we go ahead and move forward with it. But it's not something that I, you know, push on my clients. You know, if you don't want to do that, then we don't have to. And I think that's really important because I think it's super important for my clients to be comfortable with the training that they're doing with their dog. I think it's really important for my clients to be confident in their abilities. And if someone already is super hesitant and nervous about doing something, whether it's from a social aspect or from just like a lack of knowledge, like I don't know how to use this, I never have, and I'm not sure what to do, like I just don't really want to get involved in that. I'm doing good with what I have now. There's no need to add in something else. Like, that's totally cool. Like, I feel like so many trainers out there kind of force that agenda on people. And if you don't want to use that type of method, then don't. Like, I'd rather people, like I said earlier, be, like, confident and, like, ready and utilize that tool versus not confident and misuse it. Because in the wrong hands, and not necessarily the wrong hands, without the proper application of certain training tools, anything can be aversive. Like, we can't control what is and isn't aversive to our dogs. Food can be aversive to dogs. Toys can be aversive to dogs. You know, people who raise their voice to their dogs or do other things like that. Like, that is aversive. Or we can condition things to be aversive by getting dogs to be, you know, accept something in a moment where they're not wanting to do that. You know, in that moment, that thing that they would have previously liked is now aversive. So, you know, different things require different finesse in certain moments. And so, you know, when we're training dogs, we have to keep that in mind that, you know, we can't always just get our dogs to do what we want by, you know, adding in a different tool. And we have to kind of meet them where they're at. So I think that if we're able to, you know, have more options out there for people to use and more resources for people to learn from, you'll see a lot better success. But if you don't know how to use a clicker properly, or you don't know how to use, you know, lure with food, or, you know, do something with food properly, or you don't know how to use a prong collar or a slip lead or a martingale, whatever, like, that all can be really aversive. Like, even the clicker, like, I get dogs that I would do when I was doing a lot of pet dog training. I would get dogs that are super fearful and nervous, and they're like, oh yeah. I'm like, oh, have you tried clicker training in your consultation? I'll be like, oh, have you tried a clicker? And they're like, yeah, but, you know, they're super nervous. Every time we click it, she would, you know, tuck her tail, or Fluffy would be super upset, or blah, 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 whatever they said. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, let's see. And, like, I'll grab my clicker and give out some food, try to do some different exercises. We work on it. And the dog kind of opened up a little bit, was still kind of hesitant. Like, even a clicker, something that a lot of reinforcement-based trainers and, you know, balance trainers utilize on a very regular basis. And just something as simple as a marker can be nervous. So maybe we don't pursue the clicker. We just use verbal markers because that's what the dogs were comfortable with. Or let's say the client has a disability in their hands where they can't utilize a clicker or something like an e-collar, or and they need a prong collar because if a dog was to yank on them, maybe it could really hurt them and dislocate their wrist or their fingers, or and some sort of, you know, upset some sort of injury. Like, those are things that can be super valuable. And, you know, same thing for like an e-collar. Like, I work with a lot of people with autism. A lot of people with autism can become nonverbal in the moment of, you know, some sort of medical event, and they need to be able to communicate in some way, but speaking just isn't in the cards for them at that time. Utilizing the tone on an e-collar could be super helpful to give the dog a different cue to either find help, or maybe bark to alert people to come and help them, or maybe alert you know, the person next to them about, you know, something that they need to go create space. I don't know, there's like different ways that, you know, these tools can be implemented to where it's not being used for, you know, what people think the intentions are behind certain things. So I don't know, just some food for thought. But, you know, I feel like if people want trainers in general to lean more reinforcement based, or, you know, other trainers might want other people to be more open to utilizing aversive training tools, I feel like even if you're not utilizing them, it's still good to know how to properly apply it, because in order to fix, like, I don't want to say fix, but when you get dogs that are not appropriately conditioned to certain training tools, you can find that the dogs have a really aversive experience and a really aversive, like, averse state of mind towards something because it's been such a negative experience. And, you know, for me, that's not the goal. I don't want my dogs to think of any tool as a negative, like, oh, they, like, put this on you and you're acting different. Like, I don't do none of that. I want my dogs to associate these things as a way to, you know, advance training or engage with me. I want my dogs to think that, you know, all these tools that I bring out, whether it's a toy or food or my e-collar or prunker or whatever, that we're about to do training, we're going to have a good time, and we're going to learn some new things, and we're going to engage with each other and build a relationship and, you know, learn something new together. And I like to bring that out of dogs. I like to bring out that relationship and that enthusiasm and those really exciting factors that make a dog, you know, want to work with me, not feel like they have to. And so I think that when, you know, for instance, the seminar, you know, I think like seeing all those different people from, you know, older programs that have like lots of service dogs out there, or newer programs, or, you know, new trainers that haven't even opened their business up yet, or service dog handlers, or other, you know, pet dog based trainers that were wanting to learn more about service work. Like, all these things are really awesome to see, because those people had an open mind. When you go to an event like that, you are opening yourself up to a really, like, I don't know, I want to say like another level of learning, of just being able to be there and be present in the moment and ask questions and, you know, really soak up all that information like you're a little sponge, which is really cool. And I think in order for people to be able to get over this constant state of bickering and bashing and belittling, is going to take people to have more productive conversations and do less hating. There's so many people out there on the internet that are very judgmental of, like, oh my God, you use anything aversive, even the word no. Like, you're a horrible person, blah, 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 blah. It's just like one extreme or the other. And people are just like, I feel like it makes balance trainers more averse to other force-free trainers, and then vice versa. And it's like, what about the people in the middle? Like, what about the people in the middle that are just so happy to educate and have those conversations? Like, what about the people that want to have a good time and work with other people and just, you know, enjoy other people's company, and just be around good dog trainers? Like, why do we have to be, like, separated by, you know, different camps, so to speak? Like, I don't think that's very fair. Or at least for me, I just don't think it's very fair. Like, when we did the seminar, from both ends, they're like, oh my God, I can't believe you would work with a balanced trainer, or, oh my God, I can't believe you work with a force-free trainer. That is so stupid, blah, blah, blah. It's like, dude, what do you mean? Like, we would reject people apply to come to the seminar, and we would tell them, no, sorry, you're not welcome here. Because they kept pushing the agenda of, like, oh, 4th Street, blah, 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 or Bill's 20, blah, blah, blah. Like, no. If you're going to have that type of sour-ass mentality, you could take that shit elsewhere. Like, that's not for me. And I earlier, I was mentioning, like, I constantly feel like I'm having to play advocate. Like, I shouldn't have to continue to keep advocating. If you just don't like what you see, leave the page. Like, it is what it is. Block them, whatever have you. Me, personally, like, I get blocked without even meeting people. Like, I see this really awesome video, and by this trainer, I'm like, oh my god, like, I want to find that account. And it's like a 4th Street trainer. And just because people see an e-collar on one of my dogs or a prong collar or whatever, they're like, oh, I don't want to be associated with this person. I never want to talk to them. And they block me. And I can't even reach out on my dog training platform and be like, hey, I want to learn more about this video that you posted. Like, this is a really great concept. Can I set up a session with you to learn more? There are other 4th Street trainers that I meet with. I'm like, hey, I would like to learn more about this topic. I'm coming here with these questions. I'll bring a piece of paper and my pencil, and I'll write down questions before our session, and I'm asking questions. I'm being present in our conversations. I'm setting up sessions to learn different things that I would like to use in my training, but I'm gonna have to wait. You know, I might not utilize it right away, but I want to have those resources in my training toolbox to be able to help more dogs and more owners be successful. And I really like implementing, you know, more of the fear-free R+ based methods into my training, because I find them really beneficial, and dogs and owners are super receptive to it. And so I think that that's super helpful. But like I said, like, I'm reaching out to these people and they are open-minded. They're like, hey, yeah, I'm more than happy to educate you. Like, the people, like, one of my trainer friends, from Above the Standard Dogs, their training program is awesome. And I believe one of the things that one of their trainers said to me was, is like, you know, the belittling and the competing and, you know, the trash talking happens at the bottom. People at the top aren't doing that. Like, people at the top are, you know, wanting to help each other and, you know, have good conversations and wanting to learn off of each other and piggyback ideas and all of that. Like, that, like literally, like, the shit that people say about each other, like, if you're trash-talking people, that's, like, below you. Like, don't be like that. Like, that's not fair. No learning happens with that. That just causes more bad feelings, and that's not productive for anyone. So, I feel like I could talk about this literally all day. I just want to be fair and be a good resource. And, you know, a lot of people were like, oh, well, why don't you block people instead of advocating all the time and going back and forth with people? It's because, like, I want to be able to open people's minds. And then people are like, oh, well, you're not going to be able to open everyone's minds. People are only going to see what they want to see. And you're not going to be able to change everybody and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, well, if I block them, maybe one of my videos right now isn't inspiring them to be more open-minded, but maybe one of my videos in the next 6 months will be. And then if I block them, they're not going to be able to see that video because I don't go back and, like, unblock people. Like, I'm not familiar with what to do with that. So I'm like, well, then I have to go back and unblock these people. But then what if I unblock them and they still not change? And then, or not even change, like, open-minded. And I just feel bad because I feel kind of shitty. I'm like, when people block me, I'm like, damn, dude, what did I do? Like, I'm just trying to learn. I'm just trying to come to your page to learn more information and, you know, provide myself with some more resources that can help me learn and, you know, mic dropped. but learn more skills that can help grow my knowledge. And that's not something that I can do if I get blocked. So, I don't know. Hopefully this conversation has been kind of helpful. But I'm just thinking, like, what are some ways that I can put out more information to get people to have, you know, a better, like, understanding of different concepts while also not feeling judged and criticized and having to feel defensive about everything. So hopefully you guys like this episode. Maybe we'll make, like, a part two to this and, like, with other trainers and see what their topics are, like, what their opinions are on this. If you guys have things that you guys want to see from me, that you guys think would be super awesome to hear on the podcast, or different concepts you guys want me to talk about, or if you guys just kind of like this, like, babbling, like, one-to-one type of conversation, let me know, and I can keep doing more of them. I hope to provide, like, more updates on this, like, life stuff, and then also provide more training concept stuff. But yeah, I hope you guys have a wonderful day. Thank you for tuning in, and I will see you guys on the next one. Bye.